Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning to everyone. Good morning, family. Today is July 9th, 2020. If you can believe that, we're more than halfway through this year. But today, you're listening to These Be Perilous Times. This is where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. And we both welcome you to this morning's broadcast. Now, if you're listening for the first time, we do get into it. We have an archive. If you can go back and listen, this is episode 12. So you can go back and listen to 1 through 11 and catch up. But I encourage you to take copious notes. And if you do desire to ask questions, you can send a question into office@bethhashem.org. Now grab your coffee, grab your pen, your Bible, and get ready for today's word. Rabbi, would you do the honor of opening us up with prayer this morning?
I sure would. It is an honor. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. Because you are the utmost, and because you desire the utmost praise. Father, we thank you that that's not arrogant on your part, because you more than deserve it. So we deliver what you desire and what you request of us, and that is to exalt you and to give you praise and to just start our day with you. And Father, we do that. We ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression in the process. We also thank you for forgiving our forefathers on both sides of our family to the third and fourth generation. Father, we are honored that because we submit to you and because we get ourselves right and get our day sorted in the manner in which you desire and not in the manner in which we desire, Father, that you allow the generational blessing of 1,000 generations to come not only to us, but through us, Father, to our generations. Father, we ask that as you begin to teach us, as you begin to illuminate the word and give us a fuller and more richer understanding, and even, dare I say, a proper understanding of what you were saying to the Apostle John and what you are allowing to happen, and understanding that we need to prepare ourselves for in this day and this hour, we give you the glory and honor and praise. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I will pass it right back to you, Pastor Andre.
All right. We're going to go ahead and open up this study this morning with our before Torah study blessing. And for those of you who may have wondered, well, why do they do that blessing? Well, we do it not only because it is scriptural. It says, you know, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But also we want to at all times bless him. And we also want to engage ourselves and prepare ourselves for the study of God's word. So these blessings are scriptural. And we say them in Hebrew, English, and in Spanish for our audience. So without much further ado, I'll go ahead and pass it to our before Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehua, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Amen. Well, real quick, I'm going to go ahead and give us a recap of where we've been. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we have covered a lot of ground. So at any time, you're able to go back and look at our archives, and you can go to however you found this link, you can go ahead and go back and look at the previous broadcast. But for last week in episode 11, we wanted to go through again the seals, and specifically not just any seal, the seventh seal. And then within inside of the seventh seal, we were looking at the seven trumpets, and we looked at specifically 5 through 7. Before I get back into the particulars of those trumpets, I want us to remember two specific things, and I've said this several times in the past episodes here. But we need to be reminded as believers that the Father nor the bridegroom, neither the Father nor the bridegroom have appointed the bride to wrath. And the scripture references we have for that are 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Okay, so chapter 5, verse 9 points to the Father. It says the Father has not destined us for wrath. And then chapter 1, verse 10 points us to our bridegroom who saves us from the wrath to come. So those are two very important scriptures to keep in your pocket to remember that the bride is not destined for wrath. Now, we also want to remember that the ancient Jewish wedding is the Hebraic pattern for the whole Bible. All of the spiritual requirements of the biblical ancient Jewish wedding must be met and maintained. You can see this. We've talked about this in the picture of the 10 virgins and others. Okay. Now, these things are need to be maintained in order to qualify to enter the bedroom chamber, which we've called also the Holy City or the New Jerusalem. And it is necessary for the rapture. Okay. And we have scripture references, Revelations chapter 22, verse 14, and chapter 7, verse 15. Now, to jump back to where we've been, we've been discussing again the seventh seal, which contains the seven trumpets. The past couple of weeks, we walked through trumpets 5 through 7. And, of course, with the seventh trumpet, we saw that it contained within it the seven vials of wrath of God. We can see that being described in Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. Now, we did go into detail reading chapters 15 and 16 last week. Chapters 15 and 16 is what we went through. But I'm going to go back real quick just to give a broad overview of the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh real quick. The fifth trumpet, Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, we saw stars falling from heaven, opening the bottomless pit, and locusts, demons, coming out, causing pain for 5 months. But the pain that was inflicted on the individuals, they could not find death, even though they sought for it. But this is not able to touch the people of God who had the mark of God. In the sixth trumpet, Revelation chapter 9, verse 13, going all the way into chapter 11, verse 14, we see the two witnesses, the small scroll, and we see the fallen angel, Abaddon. And this is not Satan. That's a key point. A lot of times this is misconstrued or confused with Satan himself. We want to make that distinction. And then, of course, as we did last week, the seventh trumpet, we have Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 through 19. Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. And it goes all the way, and then we can go to chapter 15 and 16. So there's a gap in between there, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more today as far as the timeline and the order of things, if you wanted to read Revelation with a specific timeline in order. Now, we cross-reference Revelation chapter 15, 5 and 16, 1, and we connected the last plague bowls, or the vials, or the wrath of God. So one of the things I wanted to go ahead, as I pass it to Rabbi John, is to just remember that there is a cadence and a flow that you may not be used to, but as we lay those out today, you'll begin to see the order of how things are transpiring in these latter days. And so without much further ado, I'll go ahead and pass it to Rabbi John. Rabbi?
Hey, amen. That was excellent. And we just want to give that cadence and the flow in which he's referring to. For some of you scholars, some of the scholars that may be listening, this cadence and flow is going to be a biblical interpretation technique, mainly the contextual analysis. So we're going to give a contextual structure to the book Revelations. And basically, for those of us who are like, what is he talking about again? basically, if you were to read the book Revelations and you wanted to keep it congruent, you wanted it to flow so that it made sense and everything had a kind of order that kind of connected to one another, okay? I'm going to give you that order right now, okay? So get your pen out and your paper ready. And I'll give you just a little bit of description, and maybe we can chat about that a little bit, Pastor Andre, as we get ready to go into the 17th and 18th chapter. Okay, we're going to go after this. We're going to really hone in on those two chapters and try to extrapolate a little bit of information pertaining to the Scarlet Woman that is talked about there, Mystery Babylon. And as to what potentially or who potentially she could be. But anyway, back to what we had discussed earlier as far as the cadence and the flow. Well, we know that Revelations has 22 chapters. And oftentimes we assume, which is dangerous, that whoever wrote it and whatever manner in which it was written is actually the way it was supposed to be read. Okay? And Hebrew style, not only the Father, but Yeshua himself tend to skip or tend to take a pause and then pull out another rich truth within the actual understanding of that truth and then jump back into the main truth that they were talking about. Okay. A good example, I think, is that we've used earlier was Matthew chapter 24. And I want to say verses 36, 37, around in that area. If you can get that for us, Pastor Andre, I just want to give another example of that so that they can understand. That's the Hebraic style. In the Hebraic style, they tend to give a futuristic understanding of a point within the construct of whatever point that they were talking about, okay? And this will make more sense when we get a chance to read that. But Yeshua was speaking to his disciples. He was speaking to his Talmudim. And they had asked him a question in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, actually verse 2. They'd asked him a question about the end times, the times that we are currently living in. And they, although they were unaware of what we now understand and know to be the rapture, they were definitely understood and definitely were keyed in to the millennial period, because, of course, that's when Israel reaches their heyday. So they were asking him about these times and those particular season. And I believe that is correct as far as the 36, 37, somewhere in there, where Yeshua begins to answer them. Okay, could you read that for us, please?
Absolutely. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark.
Now, there's two buts in there. And if we were to look at this from an English perspective, there, you know, we would say, well, Yeshua, you know, you are, you know, the Son of God, you know, and everything. So we'll let you pass. But but if you were speaking to an English speaking person, those two buts kind of throw in a kind of a twist that could be easily lost. Whereas if you look at what he just said from a Hebraic perspective, as a matter of fact, if you go back and go into the Koine Greek and look up the word but there, okay, it's D-E for day. And then when you go and research that, when you go and look at it from a lexical, syntactical, or just, you know, get the dictionary word in the grammar, in the Greek, of what that means, and then take it to the Hebrew, okay, because he was speaking to them in Hebrew, you find a very interesting find. The very interesting find is that he literally was saying to them, you know, on the other hand, okay, which, of course, if those of you who have seen Fiddler on the Roof, you know that that's a term that is used, you know, a myriad of times in the movie. Well, rightfully so, because the Hebrew dialect and the understanding of the Hebrew mindset, that word fits perfectly. So what does this mean then? What it means is this, is in the process of Yeshua answering their question, he throws in a revelation. And the revelation was referring to the rapture, okay? Because the rapture is the one that no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father, not even the angels. Then he switches right after he says that and goes back to, on the other hand, and then he talks about the second coming of himself. So he gives them a rich nugget of the rapture, okay, and then switches to the actual question that they ask. Because remember, they didn't ask about the rapture because they didn't know about it. But he still gave them enough information for them to be puzzled and go, okay, well, what are you talking about? All right? But they didn't catch it. So We know that for a fact because when we go back to the book Revelation and the chapter and verse, chapter 7, verses 13 through 15, the apostle did not know where those people came from every tribe, nation, and kindred. He had no idea where they came from. They came from the rapture. But he, going back to Matthew 24, was kind of oblivious. It kind of went over his head. Okay? The only individual, the only apostle that actually got that revelation and nailed it was the apostle Paul. And you see in his writings that he was getting tremendous revelation about that particular subject. And that's why, you know, he wrote 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53, knowing that, you know, it was going to happen on a feast, knowing that it was going to be, you know, like a, you know, a twinkling of an eye. And he knew that that particular passage came out of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, 20. The actual rapture of the catching up was verse 20, verse 19 of chapter 26, Isaiah, okay, was the prophetic eschatology at that particular time of the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua, but not just Jesus, but also the saints of old when he went down into hell and preached to the souls. So this was a revelation that primarily the Apostle Paul was the only one that really got that heavy revelation. Okay. So now that we've got that, we're going to jump back forward into giving you the chronological that we talked about. All right, the chronological read, best if you really want to get a timeline of understanding and flow and everything just kind of coming in sync, okay, you would start with this. So get ready to write. Chapter 1. Okay, no surprise. Chapter 1 would be the first book of the 22 books that you would read. Now, after chapter 1, it changes. Okay? After chapter 1, because chapter 1 is the introductory chapter, but after chapter 1, then you, if you really want to get a good flow of how things are flowing with the book, chapter 12. Now remember, chapter 12 is a vision of the Old Testament Israel. Okay? He sees this vision in heaven. Okay? And he sees one of the two women that are discussed in the book Revelation. Okay? With the sun and the moon and then the stars overhead. You know, and there's specific stars or 12 stars. So we know that that's Israel. And then it goes into speaking about the story of the birth of Yeshua and the attack of course, the dragon being Satan and the one-third of the angels that he convinced to be a mutinous bunch against the Almighty Yah. Okay? All of that is in there. And the fact of Yeshua's birth, and then death and resurrection and up to heaven, and then the fact that Satan and his fallen angels, if you will, are thrown to earth, and then they begin to plague the church. Well, it says there, it says the offspring. And in chapter 12, verse 17, is very interesting because it says the offspring being those who have or are following the commandments of God and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, chapter 1, then chapter 12, then chapter 2, because chapter 2 and chapter 3, which would go together, are talking about the end time church and talking about Yeshua speaking to each one of the seven churches. Okay? After 2 and 3, then, of course, we go into 4, 5, 6, and these are chapters. Okay? All right. When we get into chapter 6, as we're finishing up the sixth seal that is open in chapter 6, verse 12, then that whole escapade goes all the way to chapter 7. But after chapter 7, before we open the seventh seal, chapter 13 and 14 that talk about the Antichrist, that talk about the mark of the beast, that talk about all of those things that are going to be happening within that time frame, that sliver of time, that 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, okay, all of that would be placed right there. That's where you would read, okay, before you get to chapter 8. So you've got chapter 1, chapter 12, then you have chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and right at the end of chapter 7, you're going to insert chapter 13 and chapter 14. Then you'll pick it right back up, okay, and go into chapter 8, and then 9 all the way to chapter 11, okay? All of that is congruent. Then at the end of chapter 11, and this is something that we talked about last week, at the end of chapter 11, verse 19 connects to chapter 15, verse 5, and flows right into chapter 16, verse 1, pertaining to the last plagues, pertaining to the seven bowls or seven vials, as some call it, okay? And this is at the seventh trumpet, okay? And the seventh trumpet is one of the seven trumpets that would be under the seventh seal, okay? So we finish chapter 11, read chapter 15, chapter 16, and right after we read chapter 15 and 16, we pick up chapter 17 and chapter 18. Now, I'm going to keep going, but then we're going to come back, and we're going to start discussing chapter 17 and 18 this week. All right. Then after chapter 17 and 18, then, of course, you go into to 19, 20, 21, and then finally 22. Okay. Now, Pastor Andre, I hope that wasn't too confusing, your take on that.
No, I think it's great. If you don't mind, I'll go ahead and list the numbers one more time, just for
yes,
everyone
please.
To get them. But yeah, starting with chapter 1, I'm just going to go straight to the chapters. Chapter 1, chapter 12, chapter 2, chapter 3 through chapter 7, chapter 13 through 14, chapter 8 through 11, chapter 15 through 16, 17 through 22. Okay?
That is correct.
So one of the things, as I'm going through these different sections, it makes a lot of sense how, just like you were talking about that Hebraic pattern where you're having a main discussion and then you deal with something else that's kind of overarching or related to that, and then you're jumping back in. I see that not only in the Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, and going on, but also I see that here, where he's talking about something, then gets a bigger, broader picture, or goes in to fill in more details, and then he jumps back in. So I hope everyone that's listening is able to go back through with this timeline and begin to just see the sense of the feel of the timeline and how it is congruent and connecting with each other. Because I've looked at this before, but I want everyone else to have that same experience. And thank you for doing this, Rabbi.
Yay, not a problem, not a problem. It's a blessing to be able to allow it to flow and to really begin to get a good contextual understanding of, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, so to speak, you know. And it allows the Spirit of Yah to really begin to speak to you when you begin to see these things happening the way and the manner in which they're happening, you know, which is exciting. For some, very fearful. I get it. But if you know within whom your hope is, and you know that He is your deliverer, He is the one that is going to step in for you, step in for us, you know. I'm reminded of Daniel chapter 12. Can you get Daniel chapter 12? Because
absolutely.
It, for me, when I know what is going to happen, okay, the prophetic is not supposed to scare me. The prophetic is supposed to give me hope and an understanding. I mean, that's what Yeshua did with his disciples. He told in chapter 24 and 25, he laid all that out. And then he said, I tell you this so that you will be encouraged, you know, so that you will be faithful, you know, not so that you can be in fear and run in terror and go, oh, woe is me, woe is me, you know. Daniel chapter 12 and probably 1 through 4. But if you could read that, there's a tremendous prophetic hope and assurance in that passage for us in this day. Go ahead.
Amen. Here's a revelation. No, it's not revelation. I've been there so long. Daniel chapter 12, starting with verse 1, and we're going to go to verse 4. And this I'm reading from King James Version. And at that time shall Michael stand up. Now, this is Michael, the archangel. Shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And here's verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
So what's that say to you? Because to me, well, I'll let you share. I'm getting excited now. But I would love to hear how that encourages you.
And from the beginning, and he's also already set up key individuals, even the angels, to stand for his people. And one thing I want to say, even as I say his people, please know that as you, your faith and walk in obedience to him, to the Father, and not only embrace his Son, and for those of you who have made a step to even grow closer to him through baptism in his name, you are his people. And I know sometimes people make this distinction, but I wanted to just say that real quick. But it gives me hope because what we have is the biggest battle between faith and fear that we've ever seen. And this allows us to build our faith, knowing that Yah has already planned these things to take place. So we want to make sure we're with him. You know, people say, I want you to come on my side. No, we need to be with him. Because when we're with him, we build our faith. And every opportunity, let me say this real quick, and I'll pass it back to you, Rabbi. But this just hit me again. With every opportunity for great fear, there is an opportunity for great faith. And we need to make sure that we're building faith rather than fear. So anytime we're going through, as you said, Rabbi, end-time prophecy, and fear tries to come, say, wait, there's something here for me to build my faith in. The fact that Yah has written this down for me to see and understand and to make it plain, it means that I should have faith. I should have hope. I have something to look forward to. I have a promise. And so those things begin to build my faith. But the very fact that he has written this in Daniel's time, and now we're seeing this take place, that to me is like, Lord, you know, and you have placed me alive in this day for a reason, to help me to build my faith to fulfill that purpose.
Amen. Amen. And I would even say, you know, that it's to build greater faith, because we know that with Yah, our faith in Yah is greater than that which the adversary would try to do as far as to put fear.
Amen.
And the adversary only tries to put fear where God is getting ready to do something greater that will dispel him and his henchmen.
That's good.
If you understand what I'm saying, you know. So mm-hmm. it's the greater faith that's on its way, but the adversary is trying to steal the word before it becomes that great faith movement, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's straight
that makes
straight out of
sense.
Mark. Yeah, and it's straight out of Mark chapter 4, verse 13. You know, the whole sower of the seed, you know, and the birds come quickly to try to steal
mm-hmm.
the word before it gets root, because once it happens, wow. But yeah, anyway, hallelujah. Yeah, I'm with you there. And it's imperative, like what you just said, that we pay attention to a couple of things in this passage. One, it says, Michael, your angel,
mm-hmm.
the one for the individuals that's in the singular, not plural, but singular book. And we know that's the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's imperative that regardless of where we are in the pecking order of being a bride or a friend or a servant, you know, any one of those or all of those three are in the salvation book. Okay?
Amen.
And so it's real important for us to understand that. I think if you can go to Revelation, and yes, we're going to get to chapter 17 and chapter 18. So I don't want anybody to think, uh-oh, they're going to go on a rabbit trail. They're never going to get there. They're never going to get there. No, we're going to get there. All right. But Revelation chapter 22, okay? And I want to say somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 or 16, okay? Somewhere in that area, okay, is where, not Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 20. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to start at probably verse 12, but Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, okay, this is the great white throne of judgment for those of you that are familiar with this. All right, in that particular passage, it's very interesting. And this can only be understood from a Hebraic perspective, because from a Greco-Roman perspective, you can, you know, postulate all you want in thinking about, well, what is he talking about opening up the books plural versus the book singular? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, you don't have to postulate. You don't have to guess. You don't have to assume that it's this or put, different nomenclatures on it that actually aren't true. Books plural is referring to Torah. It's referring to the first five books. It's referring to the do's and don'ts and the marriage contract that God is looking for in each and every individual. Now, if they don't have, and if they're not walking in Torah because they haven't been taught to walk in Torah, because as a Christian, you're not taught to walk in Torah, then he goes and checks to see if you're in the book singular. Now, the book singular is those who have accepted Yeshua as their Savior only. But remember, the saints are not only. The saints are walking in the commandments of God or the Torah, and they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? So the saints are endeavoring to both qualify in one singular book and also the plural books of Torah that are required in our day. Can you read that for us, Pastor Andre?
Yes, and this is Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Let's not get good works caught up with God works. We talked about that, so we're not going to go into that again. But you need to make sure that you understand. I would prefer you to have issues with what I'm saying here on earth, but then you go to God and Him tell you what I'm saying from a biblical perspective. Then for you to assume all this time that your good works is going to qualify as God works. And then you rehearse the Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, verse 20, through 23, and you start calling Him Lord, and He looks at you and corrects you because your good works are not the will of the Father, and they're not God's works. Good works are the works that Yeshua desires, but God works are the works that the Father requires. There's one thing to desire, it's another thing to require. So I'm going to leave you with that, and we'll pick back up and go into Revelations chapter 17 and 18. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Revelations chapter 17, 18. We just got through last week talking about Revelation chapter 15 and 16, and we went through all the plagues, those seven plagues. Now, after the seventh plague, then in chapter 16, then the seventh angel that gave that last plague has a conversation with the Apostle John and says, do you want to see? Now, he's seeing everything else here. It's funny. He's seeing everything else. And he says, do you want to see the Scarlet Woman, the Mystery Babylon? And of course, you're having one of the greatest revelations known to man with a tutor educating you and giving you the answer to all of the tests of life and what will befall the earth. Of course you're going to want to see. Okay? So the angel begins to show him. He shows him Mystery Babylon. Now, key word here is not Babylon. The key word is mystery. Now, when we begin to talk about the two ladies that are spoken of in the book Revelations, Pastor Andre, the one that is talked about in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, okay, that one is easy to pick out. And as you continue to read, and I know you've read it many times, but as you continue to read, it further clarifies who it is, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the woman gives birth to the Son of God. So you know that that has to be Israel, okay? Mm-hmm. Has to be. But this particular woman, okay, there are, and I'm just going to go ahead and mention it, there are two main thoughts pertaining to this woman, which is also considered Mystery Babylon. One thought is that this is the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? The other thought is that this is America. Now, in trying to decipher this understanding, one of the things that's imperative that we get here is that the Apostle John would have been easily able to take the whole mystery thing out of the equation if it was Rome and if it was the Roman Catholic Church. One of the reasons why, and you probably have read it yourself, I'm sure, Pastor Andre, is in the Fox Book of the Martyrs. It talks about the Apostle John's experience in Rome, in the Colosseum. And it talks about that experience of him being boiled in oil, but not dying and none of the oil phasing him. And it radically changes and causes a revival in the Colosseum. People start getting saved. So much so to where the officials have to quickly get him out of there, and they quickly exile him to Patmos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this Mystery Babylon, and this is just, what I suppose, If this mystery of Babylon was the Roman Catholic Church and was Rome, there would be no mystery for the Apostle John. Am I correct?
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. But if it's a place that he has never been and not familiar with, then now it is a mystery. Because remember, the angel takes him to this place, and the place is on earth. And when he goes to the place on earth, all he sees is a wilderness area. Now, that's a major key here, folks. That is a major key. So we're going to build around that. We're going to give you some rich biblical theological analysis across reference and connect so that you can get a better understanding of why I would say this pertaining to that particular place as opposed to the Roman Catholic Church, okay? And I'm only referring to that from a standpoint of the Scarlet Woman, Mystery Babylon, okay? Not that, you know, there isn't a sinister aspect of the Roman Catholic Church that's playing in Scripture. Of course there is, all right? But in this particular aspect, I think they've been given a negative light that doesn't really reflect them properly, whereas America and where we're headed and what we're all about, it more than sheds light on all of our dirt. Okay? Anyway, chapter 17, he gets ready and he sends them there. And it's interesting, and I know, Pastor Andre, I wanted you to reflect on this. We're brought back to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. The first two words in that particular sentence and the last two words in that particular sentence. Because those two words were, you know where I'm going. Those two words were formulated to fraudulently substantiate the pre-trib rapture theory, which couldn't be any further from the truth. Okay? And that's meta tauta. Okay? And we showed that it was overarching. It's with these things. In other words, and the way it was being revealed was God would reveal something in heaven, and then you would see the corresponding manifestation on earth. Well, we're all the way to chapter 17, and they're still doing the same thing. Things happen in heaven that reflect a catastrophic situation on earth. The angel, chapter 17, the seventh angel of the last plague, is in heaven with the Apostle John and says, do you want to see this? And he says, yes. Yeah. So then he goes from heaven and he goes down to a place that Apostle John is unfamiliar with, the territory. He's unfamiliar with this territory. This is the Americas, not just, you know, America, but this is the Americas. And he begins to show him our modern-day United States of America and the wickedness and all of that putrid filth. And the Apostle John is dumbfounded. I mean, not because of the wickedness, he understands that, but because of the location and because of the people group. He doesn't understand how all of that interplays with this. So the angel begins to break it down to him and begins to give them a description. And when you start to look at the description, you realize that, you know, although there have been some very good ministry and missionary type of things that have come out of the United States, to our bad, or to our worst, actually, there have been, in our current state, in our current day, there have been so much worse, to where there are ministers that have been ministered to through missionaries in countries out overseas that say now the missionary field is the United States because of the wickedness. So we're going to go ahead and get started, and I'll go ahead and have you get us started with chapter 17, verse 1, and I'll probably stop you a little bit as we go through it, because I want to really begin to break down that wilderness understanding and show individuals other prophecies pertaining to the wilderness and to the wilderness nation. Go ahead.
All right. That sounds great. Starting with verse 1 here. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head, her forehead, was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receiveth power as kings, 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Verse 15. And he says,
stop for just a second.
Okay.
I did a good job of trying to maintain and hold my peace through all of that.
I'll tell you what, I was waiting for you to jump in.
I was getting ready to it. I said, no. Yeah, but I have to. All right. Let's break that down. Okay. Now, understand this. And when I say understand this, I'm talking, of course, to the audience. All right. I'm giving you my perception of what I believe the Lord is telling me pertaining to this. Okay. I'm not giving you what I know for a fact to be factual, because God's, you know, appeared to me and gave me this heavy revelation. No. I'm not going to even make that accusation that you see or hear a lot of individuals doing. But based upon the way things are being played out, if the Scarlet Woman or the Mystery Babylon is the America or Americas, then if it's primarily the United States, then the beast here would be and this is my perception, the beast here would be the Catholic Church, okay? Now, understand this. with that understanding. All of that is influenced by Satan, okay? So I don't want you to think that, you know, oh, I'm saying this or that or whatever and leaving Satan out of it. No, he is the, he, I can't call him the author because he is not an author. He's a counterfeit. So he's the counterfeit author of all of these things that are happening. Then it begins to talk about the kings. Now, those kings are in position right now. They haven't appeared. Why? Because the very hour of the, we're talking about hour of great tribulation. Okay? This hour of great tribulation can be connected to the hour that the Philadelphia church, you know where I'm going, sir, the hour that the Philadelphia church is taken out of here. The hour that the Father says, I will keep you from what? That hour. Because those hours are one and the same. Okay? Revelations, you know, chapter 3, verse 10, 8 through 10. It talks about the Philadelphia church. It talks about them not having great power, but a little strength. But they kept his Torah. They kept his patience. And they had a relationship with their spiritual husband, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And because of those two things, okay, Yeshua says that the Father promises, and Yeshua himself promises, that they will not be at that appointed day. So that appointed hour in the within the Great Tribulation. So now we're talking about seal number 7. Okay, we're talking about seal number 7 getting ready to unleash, and all of this that we're talking about in seal 7, which is in chapter 17. So within that particular hour is when the power and the authority is given to these kings. That's when they appear. That's when they show up. It's going to be sudden. Okay. That's what he's referring to here. Now, keep in mind, the dragon is who they're going to give their allegiance to. They're not giving their allegiance to the Scarlet Woman. They're not giving their allegiance to Mystery Babylon. As a matter of fact, they, over time, have grown to hate Mystery Babylon, grown to hate the Scarlet Woman. They want to, and God makes them want to, it says here, want to see the Scarlet Woman be destroyed. Even though they are going to, in chapter 18, we're going to see that the merchants and the rich men are wailing. They're not wailing based upon the Scarlet Woman herself. They're wailing, they're crying because of the profitability that they have lost because of her. Okay? I want to make sure that there's a distinction there, and you see the distinction. And then in chapter 18, you hear the Father say to his saints, come out from among them and be separate. Okay? Now, is this a rapture situation? I thought we were in the seventh seal. You know, we are in the seventh seal. Okay? These are the saints that the evangelists, the 144,000 plus others who miss, are evangelizing. That's who these are. Okay? The first wave is coming out through the rapture. The second wave is coming out through persecution. Okay? This is something that even Ezekiel prophesied. If you can get me Ezekiel chapter 20 and verses 33 through 38. Ezekiel chapter 20.
Okay.
And one thing to understand and to know about Ezekiel is that Ezekiel giving the depiction in chapter 20 of the last Exodus. Now, we had a first Exodus with the first Passover. This is the last Exodus, okay? Now, not the last Passover from an understanding of never having Passover again or never having the feast. But the significance of what those two are, this is it. Now, what's interesting is in the reading that you're getting ready to read, it begins to correlate the Pharaoh, like the Pharaoh of old. And it also says that the Father is bringing his chosen, we're talking about the DNA Israelites right now, primarily. He's bringing them into the covenant. And he's bringing them to a place called the wilderness nation. Some translations call it the desert. But it's not a desert. It's very wooded in that particular time, in that season, when the Apostle John was brought over to the Americas and saw the Americas. Okay? All right? And this is the place where he's hiding them for a time, times, and half a time. In other words, for 3.5 years. Because the dragon wants to destroy the offspring of Israel. Because he can't get to Yah. And he definitely missed his opportunity with Jesus. He fumbled that one terribly. So now it's the children that he's after. But what you're also going to see in this is that those that aren't taken out, they are going to be the rebellious ones. And not only will they not be able to stay in the Americas, because first the fishers, then the hunters, they'll be hunted out. Okay? And a part of that hunting out is Yah telling them during this tribulation period, during the seventh seal, during the all of the during the destruction of America, as we understand it to be, he's telling them to flee. He's giving you the warning, get out of there. Okay? Like Lot, you know? It's going to be a destruction. Get out of there. Ezekiel chapter 30, starting at verse 33. Sir.
Okay, yes. Chapter 20.
Chapter 20. I'm sorry. I think I said chapter 30, but I meant chapter 20. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, we have 33 is probably where we're going. So as I live, saith the Lord, again, verse 33, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will
Stop there for a second. Okay. It says that he will bring you out of the lands. Okay. Now, you don't have to be a believer in this Bible to prove whether this happened. Did you know that, Pastor Andre?
Well, yes, sir. But it was an eye-opening experience for me, so please do share.
Okay. All you have to do is do a demographic study of the Jewish people. And when you do a demographic study of the largest concentration of Jewish individuals, okay, to include DNA Israeli, what you're going to find is that the largest concentration is not Israel. It's not Jerusalem. The largest concentration, and when I shared this one time in teaching, I'm laughing because somebody said, it's New York. No, New York probably has a large population of them, but it's not just New York. It's the Americas. The largest population is the Americas right now. So this prophetic prophecy is happening. And guess what that's also doing? That's telling you where this wilderness people are, so John saw. So God says, I'm going to gather you, and I'm going to put you there, okay, in the wilderness. Now, this connects with, and we're running out of time, but I want to go ahead and get this finished because I'd hate to leave you hanging on this one, all right? let's stop where you are right now, but we're going to come back and finish that. But just to give you more theological analyses, okay, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 6, and then we're also going to read verse 14, and we're going to see how that connects with this wilderness people. Go ahead.
All right. Revelation chapter 12, and this one is verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And
okay.
Then,
how many months is that?
How many months?
Approximately. Yeah, approximately. I think it's what,
42
months?
Yeah, that sounds right, because, about 3.5 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I just want to make sure we don't miss that point. Okay, continue, go ahead.
Okay, and you want me to read unto 12, or is there another verse here?
No. Jump from just two verses in chapter 12. One is 6, and the other one is 14, verse 14.
14, that's it. Okay, verse 14, this is good. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent.
Do you think that God knew what the symbol for America was before it ever happened? The bald eagle is the symbol for America. America is standing with Israel. God moves upon America. Whenever America even says things or says anything like they're going to pull back support or whatever, calamity always happens to America within 24 to 72 hours. And the reason why is because we are in this prophetic prophecy right here. And this connects the wilderness people to the wings of a great eagle, which is our sign or emblem, if you will, and connects it to the Scarlet Woman, Mystery Babylon, in the wilderness as well. We have a connection. We have a bullseye. And real quick, if we can go back to Ezekiel chapter 20 and pick it up, I guess you were at 34-ish. We'll pick it up at 34 and go all the way through. And in closing, what I want you to be paying attention to is God calling out his remnant. But before he calls them out, you know, the DNA Israeli, as well as the believers, God is saying to you all, he's saying to all of you, it's like, I have you placed here so that you can come into the bond of the covenant of Torah, the marriage covenant with my son, Yeshua. I didn't call you so that you can be saved. That is a default. That had to be. I called you for a marriage. Don't want to find ourselves, according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, being all foolish virgin, as opposed to the wise virgin that understood what I'm saying and applied what I'm saying to their lives so that they don't come up short when the bridegroom comes. Can you read that for us, sir? And I'm talking about finishing Ezekiel chapter 20, starting at, I think it was 34, 35 you were at.
Mm-hmm. 35, we'll start there. Verse 35, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Verse 38. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord.
So we have got a mass exodus on its way, prophetically spoken by God, for individuals here getting ready to go to Israel, literally. Now, this is not the rapture. We're talking about a mass exodus out of the United States of America. And those that don't go will be hunted in America and will be driven out. This is prophetically going to happen. We are in exciting but perilous times. Pastor Andre, could you close for us? Yeah, I'd like to hear your closing comments.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking the exact same thing when I heard "we are." I said "in perilous times." And this is funny because it's not funny, but let me just share what is slightly humorous about it. We were just talking about how when we're studying the prophetic and the end times, and how sometimes there's a twinkling of uncertainty, and really it's a spirit of fear that tries to come in with the fear of the unknown. But what's so ironic about it is we do know what will take place. And so it is, again, an opportunity for us to say, put your trust in God. Because faith ultimately is trust. Do you trust him? And as we're going through this, we hear about, mass exodus, like the times of Egypt. The times of Egypt were an amazing opportunity for the children of Israel to build their faith in God because he showed them who he was and what he would do for them. And we need to remind ourselves what God has done and what he is doing and what he will do for his people. That's where I was at that point, Rabbi.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well,
so,
sir.
Well, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say if you want me to pray and then you do the Aaronic benediction as well as the closing aspects of Torah, we can do that however you desire.
Okay. I'll go ahead and give this information for our listeners, and I'll pass it to the blessing and then run a benediction. And we'll close with prayer. So again, thank you for those of you who are listening today. I know we went a little bit over time, but it's very important for us to cover these details. And if this is your first time listening to this broadcast, These Be Perilous Times, we thank you for joining us. We're glad that you've taken this time to study God's word this morning with us. And we encourage you to take these things, take your notes, go home. If you're already home, probably are at home, but take them. Take them to your study room or wherever you do your study and search these things out like Bereans. This whole broadcast, this is a ministry of our congregation, Beth Hashem, in Durham, North Carolina. If you have any questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter, please send us an email. You can leave us an encouraging word, ask a question, or just desire to learn more. That's the place to go. Just email us at office@bethhashem.org, and you can find out more about us on our website, which is bethhashem.org. We have a Facebook page, Beth Hashem Ministries. Again, that's facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And if you'd like to have a deeper understanding of the things we discussed or learn more about the Hebraic roots, and the thing that we discuss, we have a college, Zakkai University of Learning, which offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. You can look at our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. And finally, if you'd like to make a contribution or tithe or offering to Beth Hashem congregation, you can make that and send that to us with Cash App on your mobile phone. Or if you need to go to a website, you can go to www.cashapp.com. CASHAPP.com/$ Beth Hashem, BETHHASHEM. Or if you'd prefer to mail in a check, you could send that to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And thank you so much for those of you who contributed and are supporting this ministry. Thank you so much. At this time, we'll have the After Torah Study Blessing.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet, Vachaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the Universe, who gave us the Torah of Truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, Giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. no has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll go ahead and recite the Aaronic benediction, and it's a closing prayer that was given in Numbers chapter 6. And so we'll go ahead and recite this at this time. Yivarechecha Yehuah ve'yishmerecha Yair Yehuah panavelecha v'chunecha Yisai Yehuah panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. May Yehuah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And Rabbi, back to you.
Father God, right now, in the name of Yahushua, as these become more sobering times, as you begin to shake the world with the manifestation of evil men's hearts and strategies, as you begin to wake up your saints and wake up the believers, as you begin to wake up the DNA Israelis, as you begin to wake up the 144,000, as you begin to wake us all up and call us out to prepare ourselves and to fulfill the call that's on each and every one of us. Father, we ask and pray that you keep us, protect us, instruct us, and guide us. Hold to our hand as tightly as you possibly can. Yeshua said it this way, that you would never leave us or forsake us, but help us never to forsake you or to leave you. Help us to be what you have called us to be in this time, in this hour, in this season. It's my prayer. In Yahushua's name we pray. Until next broadcast.